not broad-minded. It is very narrow-minded. Justice has one criteria upon which it bases its just judgment. You can cry, you can plead, you can beg, but true justice is only interested in one thing, and that is what is right, justice. Justice and judgment are the habitation of God's throne. While mercy triumphs over judgment, yet God has always paid justice its full dues. God met justice and paid its demands while his mercy came after justice was satisfied. Some of the Lord's people have not even learned the lessons of justice while they are sermonizing on love. And we cannot properly preach on love if we have not learned the lesson of justice. Jesus underscored the folly of the religious world. He spoke of those who strained for gnats and swallowed camels. We see the same today. In India, you will see people sweeping before them so they don't step on an insect, while they cut off a child's hand so it can become an effective beggar. Here we see a society being educated for total awareness, while the wealth and resources of our nation are being drained to build thermonuclear weapons capable of frying and incinerating the whole world. It's almost madness. It is no better than it ever was. We think it is worse. The intelligent, the great minds of this world are leading the world on a path, a collision course of destruction, ruthlessly. They know what the consequences are, but they can't turn back. The die is cast, and so they move toward a thermonuclear destruction. Then we have the flesh, a steadfast enemy of the new creation. It is the loyal opposition all the time. If Paul had to browbeat his body to keep it under, how much more so do we? The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. The two are contrary to each other. And if there is peace and tranquility between the flesh and spirit, beware. That's a signal that something is not right. We know that while we are at home in the body, what? We are away from the Lord. When we finally get to that comfortable position, we're in trouble. We're away from the Lord. No, dear friends, there is no comfortable position unless it really is living our consecration to the fullest under the shadow of the Almighty. And that will require discipline. There's a lot of energy required in keeping that place. Then, we have the devil. We wish to get back to the main theme of our discussion. The Protestant Reformation awakened many Christians to the false religious system which posed as the kingdom of God, while in fact it opposed and persecuted the true heirs of God's kingdom. This awakening tended to make them conscious of the sins of papacy, sometimes thinking that that was the only evil in the world. And in our day, what we see happening, we see these total godless forces taking charge, and it's frightening. You know, we see that all the evil in the world hasn't been the religious system. We find there's an awful lot of evil apart from the religious systems. We find that there's terrible evils in these godless communist forces. They're ruthless. They're barbaric. The blood flow, just in our generation, like in Cambodia and what we're learning, the information we're getting out of Russia, it causes your hair to raise, to stand on end. We see that these forces are just totally ruthless, and the destruction of human life on a scale that we can't even believe or imagine has been taking place while we've been sitting here comfortably drinking our coffee and our tea and complaining sometimes about the hardships we're enduring. Yes, the world has suffered and bled an awful lot through other forces other than evil forces in Christianity. Also, as we see these godless forces corrupting the world, not only the ideologies of governments, but we see the ideologies of immorality. the new morality, they call it. These forces are abroad in the earth, and they're in high places. They're in high places. They're in the leading positions of authority in governments all over the earth. They're in the intellectual avenues of the world, the controlling mechanisms of the world. They're in the press. They're in the books. They're in all the avenues of communication. Yes, we can see that sometimes Babylon doesn't always look that bad. They at least in some ways stood for a certain amount of morality and certain things that we were comfortable with. But some of these godless forces, I don't know if you've ever talked to some of these new spirits in the world, and they're quite immoral, but if you ever try to tell them about the standards of the Lord, oh, they just bristle, and they, oh, who are you, or who are the Christians to try to voice such ideas upon us? We're free. We're free to do whatever we want. What they're telling us is that they're free to sin. They're free to be immoral. Who gave them that freedom? We never knew that anyone had a right to sin, that anyone had a right to be immoral, but somehow they've got that delusion that they're free to do anything they want. They're deluded. Now, the man of sin existed. Well, we've got to hurry on here. Then will be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus will consume with the breath of his mouth and annihilate by the appearing of his presence, whose coming is according to the energy of the adversary, with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood, the untruth. When we read this message from the pen of Paul, we sense that he is really endeavoring to help us as the Lord's people in this final hour. We see that Satan, the master strategy that he has pursued in these end times, is to permit a great freedom along all lines. And we think what he's doing now has been paralleled by the French Revolution. You know, there he cast out a flood of water after the woman with the view of destroying the woman. But it didn't quite work. He never did know how to handle the truth too well. And he unleashed certain truths, and it kind of backfired on him. The earth opened up its mouth and swallowed the truths, and the woman whom he wanted to drown, as it were, by the flood of waters, escaped. And Brother Russell's analogy of this was that the French Revolution was a miniature of what it would be like at the end, the very end of the age. And Satan's ploy, Brother Russell thought, was that the devil would send forth a flood of truth along certain lines that would act as an emetic, that would become revulsive to society. And so he sent forth all kinds of godless ideas. They remember in the French Revolution, they exalted the goddess of reason, and they went to all wild excesses. And the idea was that when people would look at this, they would say, my goodness, we can't tolerate this. We've got to go back to a more staid and controlled society. Well, it didn't have that effect then. It got out of hand, and as it were, the devil squeezed the two spades out of the tube, but he never was able to get it back in again. But the second time, he's going to be a little smarter. He's going to be a little more careful how he does it. And we believe in this, in his second episode, he will finally have success. The powers of darkness will prevail, and the devil will succeed in, as it were, destroying the last of the church members. The dragon will, as it were, succeed in destroying the John class. Now, we may create all sorts of analogies and philosophies which will allow for more and more differences of opinion and belief. Tolerance, love, broad-mindedness, and the like may allow Bible students to believe or disbelieve, whatever they are comfortable with. The Holy Spirit has granted you freedom, only one. You know what that is? To believe the truth. To the extent that any of us believe error, untruth, to that extent we may expect to take our lumps for it. That's you, that's me, that's everybody here, and everybody of the Lord's people everywhere. Maybe a few, we'll all have to take a few lumps. But let us hope that our love for the truth will be so great that when we see we have held an untruth, we will take our lumps gladly, and we will correct our course as quickly as possible and put ourselves with our 2 feet squarely under the banner of God's truth.
Brother Gene, for that solemn warning. Interesting to note that Brother Russell, in a number of reprint articles dealing with Jesus' words in Gethsemane, "Canst thou not watch with me 1 hour?" that he did apply that hour to the experiences that would face the Lord's true church from 1914 onward. Announcement. Please return your room keys by Monday, number 310. 310. We'll sing the first and last verses, because it's a rather long hymn with the chorus. I'm at the wrong number myself. Did I say 310? Okay, I was at 110. Let's see. Okay, let's sing the first two and the last two of 310. 310. There'll be a slight announcement after Brother Gene's prayer, or a short announcement.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we lift our hearts again to Thee, to thank Thee for the truth that has shined into our hearts and lives through Jesus Christ. And we pray that as we behold Thy glory as in a glass, we may be transformed from glory to glory, even into Thy image. And we pray that we may be by Thy Holy Spirit led in the paths of truth and in the paths of righteousness. Give us also the courage, dear Father, to welcome the purging of any untruth from our lives, from our hearts, from our beliefs. Help us to welcome the burning fire in our lives, that we may be pure before Thee in holiness. Hear our prayer, accept our thanks and our worship, and help us to share the joys of the truth now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just a